Proverbs chapter 7, chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." And I do feel blessed. I have my parents visiting with us this afternoon. And I hope my children can have the same sentiments one day. And we'd like to welcome all the visitors we have with us this afternoon. The scripture reading to start my lesson this afternoon is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. It says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." These words about the day of Christ's return were written to the Thessalonians to comfort them. And this begs the question, is the day of Christ's return a comfort to you? Is the day of Christ's return, is that a comfort to you? In 2 Peter chapter 3, Christ's coming has been mocked and scoffed at and minimized and rejected for centuries. 2 Peter 3 says, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." But Christ's return is sure. It is sure because Christ promised that he will return. In John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So Christ has promised to return, so the day is sure coming. The day of Christ's return is called the day of Christ, or the day of the Lord, because it will be the day of his coming. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2 it says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." So another question, are you ready for that day to come? The day of Christ's return is called the last day. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, John 12:48 says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Have you ever been laying in bed at night and hear a really loud crash of thunder go off and you think, oh, it's the judgment day. That's how it's going to be. It's going to be that loud and sudden. And it's going to be sudden without warning, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we just read. And I believe some people have the impression that they're going to see Jesus coming afar off and they're going to, oh, I better hurry up and get down to the church building to be baptized or something. That you're not going to have time. It's going to be too late. The last day, if it is the last day, then there will be no more days after that on this earth. In 2 Peter chapter 3 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" So if it's the last day, there's no more days on this earth. Heaven will be in the spiritual and immortal realm of eternity. The physical and mortal realm of earth will be gone. So therefore, as it says in Matthew 25 and verse 13, we should be prepared. It says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The day of Christ's return is also called the Resurrection Day. In John chapter 11 and verse 23, it says, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. The resurrection day will be for all humanity. There will be one resurrection of all. In Acts chapter 24, verse 15, it says, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. It will be a resurrection of the wicked and the righteous. In John chapter 5 and verse 29, it says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And that reminds me of a few weeks ago when Don Truex was here, and he gave a lesson, and he had the three chairs lined up here, and he said there's basically three types of people, and each chair represented each one. And you're either a faithful Christian, or the third chair was you're totally out of the church, and then the second one you're trying to have one foot in each on each side. But on the resurrection day, there's only going to be two chairs. The saved or the lost. So therefore we should put our faith in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 19, it says, and if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And it goes on to mention later in that 15th chapter that if we endure the trials, and we should not be corrupted by evil, and that we can have victory over sin and death in Christ. The day of Christ's return is also called the Judgment Day. In Acts chapter 17, verse 31, it says, he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And also in Romans 2, verse 16, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. The judgment won't be the day that we die. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed to men to die once, but after this, the judgment. The judgment day will be an answering day. In Romans chapter 14, verse 12, says, so each of us shall give an account of himself to God. We will answer to God for our thoughts and our deeds. And John 12:48 tells us that God's truth will be the standard. John 12:48 says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And we can be sure that God will be true and righteous and impartial, according to Romans chapter 2, when it says, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth. Therefore, we need to obey the word of God and purge ourselves of every evil thought and deed and repent and to fear God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, says, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. So on Judgment Day, what will your answer be? The day of Christ's return is also called the Receiving Day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. On the receiving day, we will reap or receive as we have sown." Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And God will render or give in return to us according to our deeds." And Romans chapter 2, verse 6 tells us that God will render to us according to our deeds. And also in Revelations chapter 20, it says, "The sea gave up their dead who are in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who are in them. And they were judged, each according to his works." On the receiving day, you can receive punishment. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 through 9, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So for those who do not obey the truth, you can receive punishment. Romans chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, and every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also to the Greek." Revelations tells us it will be a horrible day of wrath for sinners. Or on receiving day, you can receive a reward. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8 says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So we need to be patient in continuing in doing good. And it'll be a glorious day of praise and honor and exaltation of God. The day of Christ's return is also called a destruction day. In 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. But the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Therefore, we need to live holy and godly lives. And if we do, we should look forward to that day, and it should be a comfort to us." The day of Christ's return is also called the delivery day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, "Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God, to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power." The kingdom will be delivered to God the Father. Also in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, it says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And this is why we should live pure and holy lives now. A while back, I heard on the radio a song. I believe the DJ said it was Kenny Chesney. I'm not much of a country music fan, but I heard this song, and it said something like, "Everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to go now." And I believe that is probably true for the most part for most people, but I was thinking maybe a second verse to that, which would also be true, is that everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to go God's way. They all want to go their own way. A Pew poll said that 70% of Americans believe in heaven, and almost all of them believe that's where they're going when they die. And this same poll said that 60% of Americans believe in hell, and only 4% of those think that's where they're going when they die. But that contradicts the scripture that says, wide is the gate to destruction and narrow is the gate to everlasting life. I'm going to admit I don't like to read. I really hate to read. I guess I have bad comprehension, and I really have to focus and concentrate when I'm reading. And in high school, I used the Cliff Notes, you know, the little yellow book with the black stripes on it that would take a whole book and condense it down to a few pages. I really like things that are boiled down to the basics like that. And better yet, I'd wait for a movie to come out instead of even reading that. But when in Mark 16, verse 16 says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." That's pretty easy. That's pretty plain. It's pretty simple. And to the unbiased and unprejudiced mind, it's very clear and easy to understand. But when people become confused with human creeds and worldly wisdom, these words to them become difficult. For example, the atheist, he will say, "He who believes and is baptized will not be saved." They say that there is no God and totally reject his authority. John chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "He who does not believe is already condemned." And also in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1 says that a fool says there is no God. Then we have the universalist, and they would say that Mark 16, verse 16 says, "He who does not believe and is not baptized will be saved anyway." They believe that since God is only love, he could never condemn anyone. But as we read earlier in John chapter 12 and verse 48, it said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Then there are the Catholics who would say, "He who does not believe and is baptized will be saved." And I don't know how you can be baptized without believing first. They baptize infants because of a false view of inherited sin. But Ezekiel 18:20 clearly says that that's not the case. Then there's the Protestants who says, "He who believes and is not baptized will be saved." And that's clearly not what Mark 16:16 says either. Surely a day like none other awaits us all. Will we be ready for that day? Will the day of Christ's return be a day of joy and gladness or unending sorrow? I'd like to finish with 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. If the day of the Lord is not a comfort to you, then the invitation is for you. Will you please come and stand and sing?"